Hi, this is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. It is Tuesday and this is Love Week. We're discussing love. What does the word love mean? And before I get started, I just want to say, if you hear a noise in the background, it's a helicopter that has been hovering just down the street from my house here for almost a half hour. So if you hear that noise, that's the helicopter. I went out and took a picture of it because I thought maybe there was an illustration of love there somehow. Something like maybe love hovers over its object. I think that's a good one too. So I'll post the picture as part of this audio file. Well, we're in 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to go through these definitions. Love is. And he defines what love is, how it's displayed here in 1 Corinthians 13. And before I do that, let's look at the context. Why does Paul sandwich the love chapter in between in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, where he's talking about all the gifts in the church at Corinth, the ecclesia there? Here's the reason. The Corinthian church could not gather together and open up Paul's letter to the Romans or Colossians or Ephesians. And during the time that Corinthians is written, the church there, the ecclesia, had different gifts. They had all kinds of gifts, and some of them were supernatural, some of them were sign gifts to Israel. And those gifts were going to expire. They were set to expire. According to 1 Corinthians 13:8, the prophecies will be discarded, languages will cease, and knowledge will be discarded. It's the gift of knowledge there. So certain gifts were to only be used temporarily, and some of them were sign gifts to Israel. And so what was going on in Corinth is some people were using these gifts not for the edification of others, but for the building up of themselves. Some people were using them to gain popularity. They were using them for selfish reasons. They were using them basically to show off. And the Apostle Paul brings in this love chapter in the middle of this gifts section of 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. And remember, the Corinthians wrote Paul a letter asking him a bunch of questions. And in chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual endowments." They asked him about spiritual endowments. So Paul takes these three chapters to answer his question. But he puts this love chapter in here because essentially here's what he's saying. Those of you who are showing off with these gifts, you're using them for your self-promotion. What's going to happen when God withdraws those gifts? Because a time was coming in their near future when God would take away those gifts, when maturity would come, when the mature truth would be reached. And of course, my opinion, and some of you will disagree with this, is that the maturity is in reference to the completed truth of all of Paul's letters, especially his letters of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, his later letters. All of Paul's letters form a body of truth. And once that body of truth was completed, then God withdrew many of these gifts because they were no longer needed for man, for the immaturity time of the ecclesia. And so that's why Paul brings up the love chapter, to show them that what really remains is faith, expectation, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Well, why is love the greatest? Because now, today, faith, expectation, and love remain. Faith one day will be replaced by sight, and expectation will one day be realized when we see our Lord. However, love will always remain. Love will always remain in God's universe, but other things will disappear because they will no longer be needed. For instance, Paul says, we don't expect what we already have. But if we don't have what we're expecting, we wait for it through endurance. That's Romans chapter 8. I didn't quote that exactly. Well, so that's why he brings in this love chapter, because love should guide us no matter what the conditions are, gifts or no gifts. And in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul talks about love because love always considers the others. That's why in chapter 14, just take a highlighter and look up the word edifying, an edification in 1 Corinthians 14. The purpose of the gifts was to edify others. And Paul is saying, but you're not edifying others with your gifts. You're using them for yourself. You're using them to build up yourself, and they should be using to edify others. And love always edifies others. And that's what's going to remain when these gifts are gone. What will be remaining is love. Now remember, we defined love. Love from the Greek English keyword concordance, page 186, says this: love is a complex emotion arousing appreciation or delight in and desire for the presence of its object, as well as to please and promote its welfare. It's to be distinguished from affection or fondness, which is aroused by the qualities of its object, while love may go out to the utterly unworthy. That's a definition we should all memorize. Well, let's look at the first three things we learn about love. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, love is patient. This is how love, it's on display. How is it on display? Well, Paul says first, love is patient. Now, that word patient is a Greek word that comes from two words, the word phar and phil. The word phil means to work up a strong feeling, to be furious, you know, furious. Idiomatically, we can say it means to get really mad at someone because they trampled your rights, real or imagined. In other words, feel means to get really angry when someone inconveniences you somehow, physically or emotionally. You come first, and whoever transgresses you becomes the object of your fury. See, it's all about you and what you get mad at. But patience is far feel. So everything feel represents, put it far away from you. Put it far away from you. And you know, Paul has a statement, and I think this has a lot to do with not getting angry. And anger is a killer, by the way. You know, some people talk about righteous anger, but I question that. And the reason why I question that, because of translation issues. In Ephesians 4, verse 26, the Concordant Version reads this way, are you indignant and not sinning? In other words, can you be indignant and not sin? Indignant, that's a form of anger there. And the answer is, I don't think so. And to be honest, I've lost my temper a lot in my lifetime, and never once, no matter what it was about, losing my temper, I've never once lost my temper and have been able to look up to God and say, Father in heaven, I thank you that I was righteously angry. I thank you that I lost my temper for your glory. No, there was never a time, I don't think we as creatures can ever lose our temper and still honor God with that. I think anger is something that we should put far away from us no matter what the situation is. Paul goes on to say, do not let the sun be sinking on your vexation, nor be giving place to the adversary. The adversary uses indignation and anger to get in. And later on in this chapter, Paul says, let all bitterness and fury and anger and clamor be taken away from you with all malice, yet become kind to one another, tenderly compassionate, dealing graciously among yourselves, according as God also in Christ deals graciously with you. I think that's a good commentary on love is patient. So love is patient. Far feel. So everything feel represents, put far away from you. Get rid of it and walk in love. Now, the next thing we read is that love is kind. And you know, that word comes from a Greek word meaning use, the word use. So kindness means being useful. That's a very practical word, isn't it? Have we been useful to others lately? Are we a help to others? That's what kindness is. Kindness is active. It goes out and to be useful to others. How can we be useful to others? So love is kind. Not only is love patient, not only does love put anger far away from them, but it also is useful. It actively goes out for others to help others to be kind. And then it says love is not jealous. Jealous comes from a Greek word meaning to boil. It is used in a good and a bad sense in Scripture. Here, it's all bad. It means to be zealous. Zealous for your own benefit at the expense of others. Jealousy means you are intensely angry at someone because they have something you want. And instead of being happy for them, you're mad at them. You know what's worse? The worst thing about jealousy? A jealous person would be okay with not getting the object of his jealousy as long as the other person doesn't have it anymore. Do you hear that? A jealous person would be willing to see the other person suffer loss just so he can feel better. See, that person's got something I want, but I'd rather see him not have it and suffer for not having it so I can be happy, just so I can say, if I don't have it, he can't have it. That's jealousy. It's the boil. Well, so far we've seen today, love is patient, love is kind or useful, and love is not jealous. Love puts away all anger. Love seeks to be useful to others, and love is happy when other people are blessed. It's not jealous. And, you know, I have to say this, the Apostle Paul, we should pray this prayer in connection with this topic here. We should pray this prayer because I have to admit, I myself, I want these characteristics to be said about me, but I know I can't do it in myself. That's why the Apostle Paul prays this in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12 and 13. Now may the Lord cause you to increase and superabound in love for one another and for all. And for all, for one another, the family of faith, and for all. May God make us, may the Lord, our Savior, the image of the invisible God, the Lord Jesus, may He cause us to increase and superabound in love for one another and for all. So may today the Lord make us patient, make us useful, and may we not be jealous, but happy when others are blessed. Well, that's all we have time for today. We will continue on this topic of love once again tomorrow. And just want to make a reminder, this weekend is the New York Conference. Next weekend, the weekend after this coming weekend, is the conference in Birmingham. And also, we're having a conference now in the Carolinas in September. All the details at Sheridan Voice. Just go under conferences and speaking engagements for those details. Those are going to be great conferences, and hopefully we can spread the love around. You know, it's a great time to get together and see your fellow saints and learn what's going on with them, weep with them, laugh with them, and just become part of the lives of those who love God, who love Christ, who love the Scriptures, and love all people. Well, this is Dan Sheridan. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God, as is revealed in the correctly cut and correctly translated Scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.